You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Tracy Sipple, MS, CCCSLP, a teletherapy presenter, instructor, consultant, clinical manager, and CF supervisor who works as the Tara Webb Clinical Manager at Therapy Source. She has worked at numerous therapy-based organizations and is excited to share her knowledge with us today. Tracy, a pleasure to have you with us today on the program.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, great to have you out today. Thanks for your time. Now, what exactly is telepractice teletherapy and what does it entail?
Telepractice and teletherapy, those terms tend to be synonymous. It's a type of service delivery that uses technology to connect the client and the clinician. So rather than sitting across the table working with a student or a client, you're actually using a platform that transcends the space. So, you know, it seems like you're in the same room, even though you may be hundreds of miles apart. And really, the only things you need to actually provide services or to be able to receive services via teletherapy is an up-to-date laptop, has enough processing speed, an internal or external webcam, preferably external. You could use internal or external microphone and speakers. Typically, we use a headset. And then a quiet space, so minimal distractions or interference. So, and then teletherapists, as far as the type of certification or degree requirements, are exactly the same as the SLPs or speech language pathologists that work on site, because that's determined by the American Speech Language Hearing Association. So I think sometimes the questions come into play that it's like, okay, so what is, are there different requirements? Is there a teletherapist credential that you have to get or anything like that? No, but you need to be licensed in the states that you're servicing as well as the state that you live in. And be certified through the American Speech Language Hearing Association. So many of us, in terms of speech language pathologists, have worked on site in the schools and decided that we wanted to work from home. For example, I've worked in the schools for approximately 25 years before pursuing teletherapy. So we have experience in both areas. And another, I guess, quality that would be kind of important if you're considering teletherapy from a speech language pathologist point of view would be just being familiar with the technology, connecting to the internet. There's not a ton of technological roadblocks or anything like that. It's pretty easy. So a lot of times I'll help people understand a little easier by comparing it to Skype or FaceTime. It's similar to that, but with the exception that the platforms that we use for teletherapy services are HIPAA compliant, meaning that the information is encrypted and highly confidential. There's no sharing of any type of information in any appropriate way. It's basically as confidential as it would be if you were working face-to-face.
And speaking of face-to-face, how does telepractice teletherapy differ from face-to-face therapy?
That's a great question. Teletherapy offers some great advantages. I mean, scheduling flexibility for both the clients and the clinicians. That's one of the things I think that draw a lot of the clinicians toward teletherapy. Therapy services to clients that are unable to travel to receive services, if it's an elderly person or if it's a child that needs a lot of adaptations to be able to travel to services, that type of thing. Therapy for clients that do not have access to licensed or certified therapists, whether living in remote locations is the issue or just even the shortage of the speech-language pathologists that exists right now nationwide. Teletherapy offers a lot more flexibility that way. And also in terms of the school age population, it's been proven, or research has shown, that it increases therapy productivity, increases progress basically in less time because students are drawn to technology. So it's interesting that they're so focused because we're using a medium that they're so comfortable with. Then they use it on a daily basis. A lot of times in the literature, you'll see it referred to, or those students or younger adults that are comfortable with the technology referred to as digital natives because it's so secondhand to them. So, and as a result of that, I can't say that the negative behaviors that we encounter at times is completely eliminated by any means, but it definitely decreases the behaviors that occur at times. So instead of having to necessarily work with a client or a student that's crawling under the table, if you were working face-to-face, those types of behaviors are occur less frequently because of the fascination with technology and the interest with using the internet, that type of thing, for services. And another reason, too, I think that the productivity is even more so, more noticeable via teletherapy versus face-to-face, is because as a teletherapist, you have to have everything ready at your fingertips. Not that the SLPs working on site don't, but there tends to be a little bit more flexibility getting up, grabbing a game off the shelf, or getting materials ready, that type of thing. Where here, basically, you don't have that time to just grab and go. You prepare things ahead of time so they're at your fingertips because you want to keep that student engaged as you go along. So, but yeah. It is very fascinating to see how the students react to it. That was one of my, I guess, I figured that having children of my own, I knew how fascinating technology can be to them, or how interesting, and it just kind of draws them in. So I was hoping that I would see that aspect, and I certainly have. So.
And also, Tracy, if you would, tell us what types of therapy can teletherapy be utilized for?
There are quite a different variety of opportunities that it can be used, the different types of therapies. Speech and language therapy tends to be one of the more utilized forms, but there's also occupational therapy, physical therapy, behavioral health therapies, as well as tutoring services and counseling. It's ever expanding. I think the more research that's being done, and the different professional service delivery areas are having that opportunity to be able to try it out and find out just how positive it can be, and go from there. So it has a wide range of possibilities.
Today we're joined by Tracy Sipple, a teletherapy presenter, instructor, consultant, clinical manager, and CF supervisor who works as the Tara Webb Clinical Manager at Therapy Source here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Tracy, what types of disorders typically benefit most from telepractice, teletherapy, and why?
Okay, be happy to. Clients demonstrating any number of disorders can be candidates for teletherapy. Having said that, it is important to note that the clients that do not understand how to interact with a computer make providing services via teletherapy a bit trickier. For those types of students, basically play-based therapy would be a type of service delivery model of choice. Many times it would be the same thing if we were working face-to-face because of the different goals or objectives that we're trying to achieve. This is usually accomplished with the assistance of an aide or a telehelper or a parent, depending on the type of environment that the person's receiving services. So the clients that have severe disorders require more work on the telehelper's end as the speech and language pathologist delivers services. So don't misunderstand, the telehelper is not providing the services per se. It's basically they're just the hands that serve, they serve as the hands of the teletherapist by interacting with the client as directed by the speech language pathologist. So the speech and language pathologist would design the therapy session, also work with and train the telehelper to a point in terms of instructing them what they want them to do. So providing play-based therapy would be one of the objectives, or one of the areas that they would need to be able to interact with and provide the help that the SLP or the teletherapist would need, as well as creating materials So, but again, the teletherapist is the person that's in charge of the situation and the therapy that's being delivered. So, yeah.
Lastly, as a longtime SLP online practitioner and clinical manager for Therapy Source, an organization that provides telepractice and teletherapy services to schools, what type of questions do you frequently receive from clients, therapists, and parents?
From, let's say, the like school-age clients, basically, it's kind of, I have to chuckle when I say this, but typically we get, when is my next speech session? Because of the fact that they are so engaged and enjoy coming to speech and language therapy, which can be a big switch from when we work on site at times. Again, it has to depends on how engaging you make the therapy, but the students typically have a more positive a more positive outlook or towards therapy, speech and language therapy, when it's delivered via teletherapy. From other school-age clients, it might be more like, well, how is this going to help me if the therapist isn't here in the room with me? Which, to be honest, when I first heard of teletherapy and speech and language therapy being delivered via telepractice or teletherapy, it was hard for me to imagine at first, too, thinking, I know what it takes to deliver services with a student or to a student sitting at a table. How would that be accomplished over a computer? But having done it myself, I can definitely attest to the fact that it can be done, and it is, and the students respond even in a more positive and manner and are more engaged, which increases the progress. And I guess with questions like that would just be a matter of educating the client about teletherapy and what it involves. From therapists themselves, it's like, how do I get started? When you talk about it, or I noticed on Facebook, when looking at the social media, there's a lot of questions and people are very interested in terms of providing therapy from home. Working from home is a definite draw. So educating them about the benefits of teletherapy would be a good response to that question, especially considering the situation. You know, they might also ask, why should I learn about teletherapy or care when I have a job working on site in a school or facility? Why would it be important to me? And in that case, you'd also want to talk about the benefits of teletherapy in response to the overflowing caseloads, someone leaving on maternity leave or medical leave. It helps free up time for those therapists that are working with students to do those other extra things that they maybe don't get time to do. And from parents, they typically we'll ask, okay, so will my child receive the same quality services and progress as well with speech and language teletherapy compared to face-to-face? And exactly, you know, I kind of approached that answer before. The teletherapists have the exact same credentials and licensing as those working on site. You're utilizing a platform that students are comfortable with or clients are comfortable with. And actually, one of the studies that had been done at the Waldo County General Hospital Speech Therapy Telepractice Accredited Training Program reported that therapy, teletherapy outcomes exceed the national benchmarks in their study by up to 50% less time in treatment. So what might take 60 minutes of face-to-face therapy could potentially be accomplished in 35 to 40 minutes of teletherapy. So, and also, I think one other thing that therapists might ask is like, okay, so what type of support system's in place for me as a teletherapist if I'm just starting out, that type of thing? And Therapy Source offers, which is the company that I'm working with, offers an experienced mentor with both on-site and teletherapy experience to support the school as well as the teletherapist. So the website for more information about Therapy Source would be www.txandtomx.com if you're interested in more information.
Well, Tracy, it certainly has been our pleasure to have had you. Most informational and most helpful in understanding how it all works. And thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. All the success to you.
Thank you very much for your time. Have a good one.
And you too. We've been speaking with Tracy Sipple, MSCCCSLP, a teletherapy presenter, instructor, consultant, clinical manager, and CF supervisor who works as the Tara Webb clinical manager at Therapy Source. And for further details, visit txsource.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check out our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live with a new app coming to accompany our live stream in the coming weeks. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we do thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.